Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Coming up on show 917, Kia's 10-year EV strategy is both ambitious and surprisingly lackluster. Stick around, I'll tell you why. Plus on the podcast today, Extreme E gets ready to start early next year. Tesla are making some changes to how regen works in their cars. And how many people have reserved their Fisker Ocean? We'll find out. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Welcome to EV News Daily. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every single EV story every day, so you don't have to. In a little 20-minute caffeine hit of EV News, it's everything that you need to know. Well, let's start off with our headline story today, and that's all about Kia. How they want to be one-fifth electric by 2025. The president of Kia Cars has unveiled an aggressive five-year plan to launch 11 pure electric cars by 2025, and I do think that is aggressive. They're spending $25 billion to electrify over that period. Now, of course, electrify means that that does include hybrids and plug-in hybrids and things like that, but still, the headline that caught my eye, 11 pure electric cars by 2025. You know, we've got 4 more years to get there. And, well, there's the e-Niro or Niro EV. It's called different things around the world, but also the Soul, which is largely a bit of a wolf in sheep's clothing or a wolf in a clown's outfit, depending on how you find the subjective styling. I'm a huge fan of the Soul EV. You get your 64 kilowatt hour battery in a car that's going to give you great range on that. But really, that's an ambitious thing to do, to get 11 cars pure electric by 2025, and they say that that wants to be 20% of the company, well, by sales. So that is a fifth of their sales are going to be pure electric cars by the middle of the decade. Seems sensible for a combustion engine brand, which is moving along with their parent company, Hyundai, at a good speed towards electric cars. But then there's the bit that I didn't quite understand. They want to give you an example of scale, they want to be making 500,000 EVs by the middle of the decade. To give you an example of that, Tesla will make 500,000 EVs this year. So they will do that in 2020. Maybe they're aiming for 500,000 cars. Next year, with 2 new gigafactories online and a new line in Shanghai with Model Y, so that is Y coming out of Shanghai, that is Berlin, that's Austin online as well, then it'll be between 800,000 and 1,000,000 EVs every single year by the end of 2021. So that is Tesla, of course, because they've got no alternative. They don't make combustion cars, whereas Kia want to sell 500,000 cars which are electric by, actually, that one was 2026. They're giving them an extra year to do that, and then another 500,000 hybrids and plug-ins. Okay. Not the biggest numbers, but again, it's a combustion brand moving electric. Everyone's going to go at their own pace. Then they say by the end of the decade, they want a quarter of their sales to be pure electric car. That one didn't make any sense to me, because if you draw the graph from now to the middle of the decade to get to a fifth of all their sales being electric, why would they go from just 20% in the middle of the decade, but then from 2025 to 2029, just another 5%. They want to be a quarter of all their sales pure electric by the end of the decade. That doesn't make any sense. There are countries that by the end of the decade will have banned combustion cars. And then by 2035, look, we're looking at 2035 here in the UK, possibly earlier, for a combustion car ban. And that includes plug-in hybrids, anything that burns anything, banned. So, and we're not even the most ambitious ones. Like, you know, Norway and Scotland's got an ambitious plan. So, I don't understand that. This is in an interview with Automotive News. I'd love some clarification. I can't find it. It just seems odd that by the end of the decade, they only want a quarter of the company? EV? Come on, Kia. You can do better than that. Or is that a misprint, a typo? You know what? Interesting interview nonetheless, but still, if it's true, like, the first bit seems great. I just can't get my head around the second bit. How do you go 20% of sales by the middle of the decade and then trickle a few more in the next 5 years? Anyway, that's their plan. Kia are calling it Plan S. There you go. I've heard of Plan A, and then if that doesn't work out, Plan B. But you've got to go a long way down the alphabet to get to Plan S. Joking aside, Kia said the S stands for shift. So there you go. There's method to the madness. Plan S does stand for shift. And if you ask me, having only one quarter of your cars electric by the end of the decade does sound like total shift. I said shift. Let's move on. Extreme E is starting early next year. The news lately that Formula One world champion Nico Rosberg is launching a team off the back of current Formula One world champion and most successful Formula One driver by total wins, at least, Lewis Hamilton, also running a team in Extreme E. Looks like it may have been affected by the virus a little bit, because what was going to start in January is now put back to March the 20th. Starts in Saudi Arabia. The first calendar for Extreme E will be Saudi, Senegal, Greenland, Brazil, and Patagonia in Argentina. Extreme E comes from the same people that bring you Formula E. There'll be two drivers in every team, and it's mandated one male, one female. Each will complete a lap of the course before swapping drivers. Each weekend there'll be qualifiers on Saturday, semi-finals and a grand final on Sunday, and some gamification to it as well for younger fans who want to get interactive with the series. And when you look at that way of going racing, like four cars on the grid, a shootout kind of a format, very much like the FIA World Rallycross, of which I'm a fan. Yes, don't shoot me. I know they burn stuff, but I love it. It's not on every weekend, but if you enjoy stuff like that, I think it's on a channel over here called Free Sports. I normally watch it on YouTube, and it's brilliant. It's just chaos, and yes, it's noisy, but it's brilliant, and it's racing on tarmac. Then they go to dirt and tarmac again. Next year, the feeder series is going to be going all electric, and the following year, Rallycross will go all electric. So that they're moving to electric very quickly. Extreme E sounds like a similar format. In fact, we should do, you know what, I don't know if anybody cares, but I care, so I'll do it. We should do some special programs on electric racing, because it's a way of taking EVs in a very high-performance way to petrol heads and showing them how quick EVs are, how brilliant they are. That's an extra job to add to the list. By the way, thank you very much for your patience over the last couple of days. Podcast fell behind the schedule a little bit, as I normally try and get it out the same time every day, but I rebuilt the studio here. Maybe I should put some pictures or a little make a video for Twitter or something. Back now in the game, everything plugged in. Had to do a bit more today, which is why today's a little bit delayed, but it's nice. Little 4K camera installed, the lights are on a little rail that whiz backwards and forwards. It's fantastic. It just took a little bit of work over the weekend, a bit more than I thought it was going to, but now all complete. Let's talk about the Fisker Ocean. How many reservations have they got? Well, it turns out almost 10,000. That's not bad for the EV startup Fisker. Their headquarters were announced today. They're going to be in Europe, in Munich, in Germany. Their SUV is called the Ocean, and it goes on sale in the last quarter of 2022. Their global headquarters are going to be in the city of Manhattan Beach in California, but they won't be making the cars there. The Fisker Ocean is going to be made by a company called Magna, their manufacturing partner. And that's a really, really smart move, because I love the design of the Fisker, but I don't think they'd be able to put an EV company together, because it's wildly expensive and the odds are against you. It's more likely that you'll fail than succeed. And I really want to see Fisker succeed, because I think, you know, Henrik is a great designer, and I just think that the Ocean, it's a three-row SUV. It looks very appealing styling-wise. Everything's subjective, I know that. It looks great to me. I know it's still 2 years off, but I would rather they had a manufacturing partner in an expert company like Magna, making it in Graz, in Austria, actually. And I'd rather they'd like the Jaguar. Jaguar got Magna to make the I-Pace for them. They didn't try and make a the iPace themselves. And so, look, this company have got a long heritage in doing this kind of thing. They are production experts. I would love, and I love seeing Fisker get on and doing what they're good at and doing the design bits. Because, you know, why are you worrying? Why would you worry about how to make steering columns and indicator stalks and all that nonsense? Just get on and do the bits that you're good at. Let somebody else make it. Very, very sensible. I wish them all the best. I think they'll succeed in doing this. 10,000 reservations since it opened a year ago in December 2019. 8,871, to be specific, for their car. Big jumps, they said, that when they showed the car off at CES, when they announced that they were going public, when they announced the Magna partnership. So whenever people hear about the, when it makes the news, when it makes the press, when it's shown off, people see it and order it. So a few specs, targeting an EPA range of up to 300 miles, 80 kilowatt hour battery, 0 to 60 miles an hour, less than 3 seconds, and options for either two-wheel drive or all-wheel drive. Moving on, the Peugeot E2008 is the best electric car, according at least to the Business Car Awards. The Peugeot E2008 is now on sale in the UK, just over £28,000 when you take off the plug-in car grant. Has 136 horsepower, 50 kilowatt hour battery, and charges at 100 kilowatts. This is the same specs. They mimic all of those cars coming out of the Peugeot Citroën group. Cars like the DS, whatever it's called, it's not a Citroën, it's a DS E-Tense thing. They're all the same specs, and the vans are as well, and the minibuses. So a great platform, and they've just rolled out those specs. They've been like, right, okay, we've got a bunch of 50 kilowatt hour batteries. We've got a bunch of drivetrains. They're all the same. Off you go and do your thing. So whether it's the Peugeots or the Citroëns, they're all much of a muchness, all around sort of 200 miles or so, I think. And that's, you know, fantastic specs for very affordable cars. Okay, let's move on. Tesla is showing autopilot being safer than ever before. Once again, Tesla releasing their vehicle safety report, their regular look at how many cars of theirs have had accidents when autopilot is on, versus when it's not. Tesla say that when autopilot is engaged, there is one accident for every 4.59 million miles driven in the third quarter of 2020. That is up from 4.53 million miles the previous quarter. And they said that if you have autopilot disengaged, but there's all the other safety, active safety features, of course, in the cars, then it is a lot more likely that you will have an accident. Be careful what I say here, because there is a disclaimer that I want to add in. One accident for every 2.42 million miles, up from 2.27 million miles in the previous quarter. So we can see the rate of accidents going down if you have autopilot engaged. Very clever software. Driver assist features are particularly useful on motorways and highways. Typically when you are doing higher speeds, and when you are doing that, you can rack up the mileage quicker than when you're driving around the city. So yes, it's all well and good saying that, or publishing accidents per million miles, but of course when autopilot is on, you are more likely to be going further quicker. But of course, if Tesla stick by the same metrics quarter on quarter, at least you can compare their own numbers quarter on quarter and year on year, etc., if that makes sense. Okay, you know, this kind of data, I think we will see increasingly published by Tesla as they try and educate regulators around the world to allow more autonomous features being used. And final story today, regen braking is changing in Teslas. The strength of regen braking is one of those curious personal preferences that everybody who drives an EV will have an opinion on. And there's no correct answer. Many EVs have multiple levels of regen. Some cars have one pedal driving. Some will slow down on their own. Some require you to push your foot on the brake pedal, but when you do that, it doesn't apply the brakes, depending on how hard you're pushing the pedal. So, for instance, some regen systems work that when you push the brake pedal, it simply causes the electric motor to recapture that energy. And then if you stamp on the pedal very hard and tell the car, I need to stop quickly, then it will engage the friction brakes. Tesla is one of those brands that do use one pedal driving, and so if you don't particularly want to press the brake pedal, you can come to a complete stop. And until now, you've had two options for either standard or low level of regen. And I understand for some people they like to cruise, some people are driving on slippery conditions, some people are transitioning from ice and they might just want to have low regen. I don't know why, but I've seen it talked about. I didn't when I first drove an EV. I loved that regen. However, new cars coming out of Tesla since June don't have the option of low anymore. It's simply, that's what you get. The car is programmed when it comes out of the factory, and that's the level of regen, and there is no changing it. Some cars have flappy paddles behind the steering wheel, like 5 levels of regen. Well, Tesla going the other way to that, saying, we're not giving you the option now. It's the level of regen that we think you need to use, and the low option is gone. No suggestion at the moment that if you have a car built before June, that they're going to take that option away. It's just new cars. People on Reddit have been pointing out, hang on, there's no low option. There's no option to change it anymore. And so, if that's you, I'd love to hear from you. If you want to feedback on any of the stories on today's podcast, I must read out a couple of listener comments, actually, that have come in via the YouTube comments. I would love to hear from you. My personal email address is hello@evnewsdaily.com, and I'd love to hear from you. Andy Miller made a comment on the new battery cells that I was talking about yesterday from SK Innovation. They said that they will do 1,000 charge cycles. These are the ones that would charge in 10 minutes to give you 250 miles of range. Andy's saying that 1,000 charges, because I was saying that 1,000 charges for the lifetime of the battery, charge cycle, a discharge cycle, isn't, you know, very good compared to what the latest battery developments are. And Andy Miller said, well, look, it's still 1,000 charges is probably 250,000 miles, which is good and better than most ICE cars. Fair enough. It's not a 3 million mile battery, so I think they'll need to do some work on that. But you're absolutely right. How many cars are going to ever drive more than 250,000 miles? It's a good point, and Andy, and I appreciate your comment and everyone's comments on YouTube and email as well. I try and reply to everyone. I enjoy the conversation and engaging with you, whether we agree or disagree. There's always something I think I can learn from you as well, so get in touch. There are 916 previous shows in the archive, and if you'd like to check out that, it is evnewsdaily.com. You will see that I've changed the titling format of the podcast around a little bit. Used to put the date at the beginning, had some feedback from listeners that it made it quite hard when scrolling through shows to find topics of interest. So actually start with the title and then put the date. So I've been just playing around with that. So let me know how it looks in your podcast feed, or if you listen to it in the car, or, you know, on a device, how it shows up in your podcast feed and your app to make sure it's looking okay. Also, if you can check out my Patreon, that'd be amazing. Premium partners are Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley at the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard at rsimons.co.uk, rsymons.co.uk, the electric vehicle specialists down here on the South Coast, not far from me. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow, and remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.